Quiet, please. Quiet, please. Broadcasting System presents Quiet, Please, which is written and directed by Willis Cooper. Quiet, Please, for tonight is called In the House Where I Was Born. Another year, and I've come back to the house where I was born. Every year I do it, just before Decoration Day. The servants come here. Everybody ought to go back once a year to the house where he was born. Just look around and remember. And then came from. The house where I was born is old. And the old porch is gone. The big bay window where I used to sit and watch the snow one winter afternoon. And the wooden steps go straight up from the sidewalk to the big double front door. The house was painted red when I lived there. Red was white trimming. There was a big caladium plant in the front yard. Elephant ears, my grandmother used to call it. You remember those things? My brother and I used to pull them and make umbrellas out of them. Grandma's jaw still our ears hurt. Can't even tell now where the caladiums were. And the old woodshed that two generations of us have carved our initials on. I remember CDO 1884. And my brother's initials 1905. And all the others. That's gone too. And there was a dog, a little brown and white fox terrier. Her name was Trixie, wasn't it? So many years ago. Here was the living room. The sitting room, we called it. The round oak base burner with the isinglass in the doors, where the cook, the towel table with the cracked marble top where the lamp sat. The round lamp with the yellow silk shade. And my brother and I reading the Highly Maze and wishing we too could be big league baseball players. Then on a spring night like this, Mother, sitting at the rosewood organ under the big spring battle hymn of the Republic, and there'll be a hot time in the old town, for the Spanish War wasn't so long ago. And my father, Sergeant Major, hadn't come back from Chickamauga. And the scent of white lilac. And the white lilac whiskey with his pride is long gone. But I can smell the white lilac tonight. And I was on the pavement outside. The pavement they put down the year I started the school. Over the old room, a glow comes slowly to life. And there, cheerfully across the Brussels carpet, playing. And I'm the little boy who looks up at her and plucks at her dress and begs. Mama.
Mama, tell me a story.
What shall I tell you about tonight, son? Isn't it almost time for bed?
Tell me first, Mama, please.
Well, let me see. The stag at eve had drunk his fill. We had danced the moon on Moaning the Rill. This his midnight lair had made a dark, monotonous river scene.
What's Moaning the Rill, Mama?
Why, it's a little brook, a little creek, way up in Scotland in the tropics, where Roger Dill lives.
Well, why did they call it Moaning the Rill, Mama?
Why, I suppose it was named after somebody named Moaning, son. I suppose it's a very tiny little brook, where the water is ever so cold and come down all the way from the very top of the mountain through the glorious castles of where the gods live. And I suppose not very many people know where Morningville really is, because it's very probably guarded by the... And I don't think they like people to come and drink at their rivers. But they do let the stag come every night, and that is if he wants to, and then he goes away. And the little people ride on his back wherever he goes. And then they wake him up in the morning and he takes them back to the rail.
Does Morning come there too?
No, I don't think so. Morning's gone from there ever so many and many years ago.
Wasn't anybody ever seen?
No.
Doesn't anybody know him even?
I guess not.
That's awful.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
That's just about the awfulest thing that could happen, isn't it?
What's that?
Not having anybody know you.
Why, I hadn't thought of that. But...
Jimmy, Mama.
Are you getting sleepy?
Uh-huh.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out of vintage where the grapes of wrath have stood. He has loosed the faithful lightning of his parables. His truth is marching on.
Grandmother's song fades, and the light grows dim, and I am in darkness again in the house where I was born. And this house where I was born is in a great city, and the wide streets are filled with crowds of people. And I remember again so many things. The thunder of the elevated railways overhead on a brisk afternoon in the autumn. And the open streetcar clanging its way up the street. My father pointing and telling me that that's the last trip of the open streetcars up Broadway till next summer. And a friendly policeman in a round-topped helmet spanking me jovially with his nightstick as we crossed the plaza on the way to the Central Park Zoo. And the house where I was born. Weary and happy in the crisp evening, climbing the brownstone steps into a high-ceilinged house with a fireplace in the front room. And the great stairway and the long, inviting banisters. And a cat with a blue ribbon for a collar and the longest, sharpest claws in the world. And a telephone that you could talk even to Brooklyn with. The house where I was born. And now, a sign on the front alongside the tall doors. A sign that says, Swedish Restaurant. And still, in the concrete sidewalk at the foot of the steps, the prints of my two shoes that I could span with a hand. And my initials. And the date, 1901. And I turn away from this house where I was born. For I have not done with my homeward journey yet. In the house where I was born, there is not one stone upon another. For the path of war led across its dooryard. And destruction followed for all the people who dwelt in it. But the scent of lilacs is strong in the evening air even here. And before my eyes, the scene of desolation dims. And the house where I was born lives again. And it is a spring evening. There seems to be music in the air. And I feel happiness again as I felt it that night when I first brought home my bride. What was her name? Have I forgotten?
Carry me across the threshold, my love.
Oh, darling, this is home.
A fine home, a wonderful home.
My people have lived here.
Since the 30 Years' War, you have told me that.
They don't build houses like this anymore, my love. See the wall.
And the stone from the quarry over there.
And the mortar. Why, there's my great-great-great-grandfather's blood in that.
I know. He drew blood from his own arm and spilled it into the mortar so that there would always be something of him in the house.
Well, it was also a charm, you know, the witch woman.
I know. He paid her 3 silver pieces to tell him what to do to make the house stand forever.
Well, how do you know so much about it?
You have told me so many times.
Oh, so I have. And real glass in the windows, too.
And the straw with the hand-painted tires.
There's not another one like it in the whole village.
And it's ours.
And we'll take it to America when we go.
Oh, dearest, do you really want to go to America?
Why, of course I do. You do, too, don't you?
Could we not be happy here, we two?
Why, we could be happy anywhere. But in America.
Oh, no, we will be rich and I'll have 2 dresses and someday we'll have a motor car even, but...
But what?
It is so far from this house where you have been born in and where I hoped our children would be born.
Then the scent of lilacs is strong again in the air as the voice of a beloved woman fades away into shadow and forgetfulness. And the house where I was born is swallowed up in the night. And I am alone again. And the house where I was born is adobe shack somewhere in the Texas panhandle. And the wide plains of the West stretch away endlessly beyond it. Now the corral gate is broken, the bunkhouse roof is gone. Horned toads squat on the decrepit porch where I played cowboy and Indian. I look above the door, and the brand is still there. The brand that looks in the early darkness like rafter A, but might be 2 up and 2 down or a running W. And there's a dry, dusty smell about the place. And an echo of almost forgotten songs quivers on the air. For the Chisholm Trail went past our place, all the way from Belton up to the North Fork of the Canadian and Abilene. I've seen white-faced ballers by the thousands go past our gate, heard the riders' voices in the hot noon, the long moonless nights. And the long, slow song of horses' hoofs is music to the ears of a lost, forgotten Texan who'll never come back to stay to the house where he was born, to lay flowers on the grave up there on the little hill under the cottonwood tree. And the house where I was born is a sod-roofed cottage in the peat bog country of Ireland. Then I'm 19, and returned for a visit with the old folks after 3 years in America, where I'd become all Yankee. And my brother and I sit before the door, talk at evening about the strangeness of the new world and its customs, the customs of other people beyond the various seas. And it is this very day, 34 years ago, in 1914.
And I'm betting you there'll be war in Europe before the year is out, my lad.
That's just talk.
Just talk. Started every war the world has ever seen. Kaiser Bill is just waiting for somebody to set the world alight. Aye, and it's many a good lad who'll come to his end putting it out.
Well, we'll never get in it.
You mean the Americans?
Yes.
I don't know about that.
Well, we're too far away. Let the English and the Germans fight it out.
All very well to say, but you'll see.
Well, you won't go.
Oh, I'm not so sure about that either.
Fight for the English?
Oh, I wouldn't like that very much, sure enough. But there's some very good Irish regiments in the British Army. The Enniskillen Fusiliers, the Royal Irish Rifles, the Dublin Fusiliers.
You stay out of it.
Aye.
Well, you can't go and leave the old folks alone.
Oh, if I was as young as you now,
I'd... Cut it out. Well, you talk as if war's just around the corner.
That's just exactly what I think, too.
Well, all right. But I'll be back in the States long before your war arrives. And I'll stay there, too. And I left the house where I was born, the smoky, damp little hut beside the road to the sea. And I've not seen it again, save when it comes Decoration Day time and I go back, unbeknownst to my brother, look in the door to where he sits, an old man puffing his pipe, alone by the peat fire. And once, it was long years ago, the village priest sat with him. And I heard my brother speak of me.
Aye, it would have been different, Father, if my brother had come back from the war. He was a fine young lad, Father. Him and me, oh, we could have done something with the place. But now, it's too late.
And there was a day on the ranch in the Texas Panhandle when a tall young man in Levi's and high-heeled boots saddled and bridled a horse, said goodbye to an old man, shook hands with a half-dozen cowhands and a Mexican cook, rode away toward the railroad that was to be the first lap of a long, long journey. And I remember I turned and looked back at the house where I was born. And someone was singing an old song somewhere. Stand again beside the walls of stone mortared with the blood of my great-great-great-grandfather. And in my arms, I hold a weeping woman.
Don't go and leave me.
But it'll be only a little while, my dearest. Only till I can earn enough money to send
you. I'll never see you again.
Oh, but you will. America really isn't so far away.
Across the sea. Across the sea. I'm safe.
Yeah, we've been through all this before. Now be reasonable. In 6 months, a year.
Oh, no.
Don't, darling.
Let us stay here, both of us. This is our home. This is the house where you were born.
Look at me, love. I love you. It will be such a little while. You will come to America. We'll be so happy that you're rich. It's such a little time to wait. You know it is.
I love you.
And I kissed her. And I went away. And I have never again seen the house where I was born, except in dreams, dreams such as this dream tonight, when the ruins lift and form themselves for a little moment in the darkness. She came to America, and the day she arrived, I was drafted. I was never able to find her again. But then, she was never able to find me. In the house house where I was born, there is no memory left of me. Only the two prints of a child's shoes in the concrete remain as a memorial that I once lived. The house where I was born has forgotten me. And the house where I was born, where my little brother and I played in the caladium bed, it has almost forgotten me, too. There is a pack of yellowed letters somewhere in the house, lost behind a beam in the attic, maybe. A pack of yellowed letters with soldier's mail in the place where the stamp should go. And my name and an APO number in the other corner. The letters are full of names like Albert, Le Somme, Chatoncourt, Dead Man's Hill, Consonvoye, Brabant. Names like the faded letters on an ancient palimpsest, obscured by newer names written over them. Omaha Beach, Bastong, Okinawa. They are all names of places where men have died. And one day, they'll all be forgotten, please God. I remember one of those names, those first names. I won't tell you the name of a town, a clean little town it was once, with red-roofed houses, a dirty shambles in October 1918. I couldn't hear the shells from the 77s bursting in the streets. I couldn't hear what the chaplain was saying to me. I could just see a dirty-faced man in a helmet moving his lips as he bent over me. It was very quiet and very lonely. I didn't even hear the shell that killed him and the other man that was standing alongside him. It was quiet for a long, long time. And then I heard a little boy's voice. And I said to myself, "Why, I'm home. That's my voice. That night before Decoration Day so many years ago." And it was.
Mama, tell me a story.
What shall I tell you about, son?
Sorry, Mama.
Well, let me see.
What's morning drill, Mama? I'm going, please.
I'm afraid not very many people know what morning drill really is. Because it's probably very close to his body by the militants.
Many a good lad will come to his end of putting out the great fire.
Across the sea! Across the sea! Across the sea!
It's just about the awfulest thing in the world, Mama. Not having anybody know you.
They set a marble tomb above my shattered self, seeking to do me honor thus, to recompense the searing days, the crawling nights I died in. He lies here deep, the graven letters say. He lies here deep, unknown to all save God. Oh, sweet it is, they say. Oh, sweet it is to die the battle death. Yes, it is sweet. As gall is sweet and wormwood, so is death. I died. I felt the bitter fire and the cleaving steel, the pain. I am content. Yet I am weary in my sediments. The sleep of death is not so very deep. Lately the spring has come. And yesterday a tiny root of some green thing has split the stones apart wherein I lie. Its tender questing fingers seek my hand as mine sought flowers on some yesterday forgot. Above my head, the hushed clang of arms, the measured tread of sentinels that guard my bed, forbid me sleep. My face is dim in eternity now. But once you knew me. Perhaps you wept to hear that Sergeant Death had spoke my name. Is it you that I hear through the dust, or my brother? Is it your little song that I hear, or my mother? I, in my tomb of marble. I, in my tomb of stone. I am the chief of them all. I am the chief of the dead. I died, and dying became a mystery. To every mother, her son. To every brother, his brother. To every soldier, his comrade. I, the chief of the dead. I was content to lie here masked in uncertainty, having the homage of all of you here in my marble tomb. I was content, I say. Yet now spring comes again as I saw it once before that day I died. Is it your hand that rests on the stone, oh my sister? Is it your tear that falls on the stone, oh my wife? I hear the trumpets now. The volleys sound. The sabers flash against the sun. I may not know. I may not rise. I have my duty here alone. I, in my tomb of marble. I, in my tomb of stone. I am the chief of them all. I am the chief of the dead.
And so until next week at the same time, quietly yours.